Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, High Performance Christianity, with a message titled, The Practice of Visioneering. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Well, good morning and welcome to Portland Christian Center's live stream service. We've got to stop meeting like this because I'm here and you're not. You're where you are means we've been weathered out yet again. You know, we weren't anticipating this soon, but here we are, and we're just thankful that we can be together through the technology that we have to live stream our services. You know, we didn't plan for this, but God did. He knew way in advance that we would have bad weather today, and He had something in mind for us that we were to experience this way. So even though we're not together physically, we're together spiritually, we're together in our spirits, and you know, God is up to something. And so I would just encourage you to open up your heart and receive from Him today whatever it is He has for you. I'm going to bring you a word from the Lord that's on my heart, and I pray that the Lord will speak to you through that. I pray that as you gather with your family or your friends, your small group, or even if you're just by yourself, that as you open up your heart, that God is going to speak to you today. God is going to touch you today. Again, He knew what was going to happen. He knew that we wouldn't be able to meet today because of the weather. And He's not interrupted, but His plans are not interrupted by that. He will perfect everything that concerns you, and He will fulfill His purposes for you and for us, whatever that is. And so we just open up our hearts to that, and we in advance say thank you to the Lord for that. You know, normally in our church services, we start out with singing. We lift our praise and our worship to the Lord. We're not going to do that today. I wouldn't do that to you, but I would encourage you after I'm done with the message today and we say the final prayer, that perhaps you would take some time to just worship the Lord. Perhaps that's grabbing your Bible and opening up and doing the daily reading that we're promoting this year. Maybe it's grabbing a hymnal or putting on your favorite worship CD or streaming whatever music, or streaming however you do music, or maybe it's getting a hymnal. I have a hymnal here that perhaps you have one of those in your homes, and just open up to your favorite hymn and just sing two or three songs to the Lord. You don't have to have accompaniment. You don't have to be good. It's just a heart of worship that you lift to the Lord. And, you know, even though we're not in church, I would encourage you to still worship the Lord. You know, when we worship Him and when we proclaim His truth through song, it just does something in our spirit, and it invites the Lord's presence in a very special way. And so I would encourage you to do that. Even if it seems awkward, just do that and do it with the group that you're with, if you're with people, and you know, just see what the Lord does. We're also going to offer prayers. I'm going to do that in a moment. But I would also encourage you, as a part of what you do after this live stream is over, that you would pray for one another, that you would lift up your needs to the Lord, that you would just go to the Lord in prayer. And again, we believe that God is a God who hears prayers and He answers prayers. And so take advantage of that and call out to Him and see what the Lord will do for you. We're going to receive an offering again, although it's through our online giving mechanisms. I'm going to encourage you to do that. You're going to see on your screen that you're able to give through our website. We're able to do text to give these days. And if you're still like me and you have to write a check and put it in an envelope, we'd encourage you to do that and send it in, or for sure bring it in next week. But just because we're not meeting today, that doesn't mean that the expenses of Portland Christian Center don't go on. We may not be here today, but we have the lights on, the heat is on, and we have those kind of expenses. We've sent out missionaries who depend upon our support. We have a staff that we pay. And I would encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving and to be generous in your giving. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have an annual church business meeting the last Sunday of the month, and I'm going to bring to you a financial report of what God has done for us in the last year. And I can just kind of preview that for you a little bit to say again that God has been generous to us and God has been faithful. And you have been generous and you have been faithful as well. And so, like the Apostle Paul encouraged the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, I would encourage you today that not only would you continue in your faithfulness, but you would step out in even greater generosity and give to the work of the Lord. And the reason that I ask you to do that, I challenge you to do that, is not so much because I need it, but I want to unleash God. I want you to untie God's hands in your life and unleash to you abundance and prosperity like you've never known before. And in part, the way that happens is as we're generous with God, as we give to the things of God. So I encourage you to do that. And then let me also just take a moment to make some announcements. We normally do that in church as well. And just a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. And that is this week on Wednesday night, weather permitting, we're back together and we are launching our winter quarter of discipleship ministries. We have workshops, we have classes, Bible studies, groups that meet, and music department, choir startup, all those kind of wonderful things that are part of the life of our community. And I would encourage you to be in discipleship. Make this a part of your worship week. So this Wednesday night, we begin again. Also, following Sunday, we are launching our Learning Hour classes where you can get with other people, you can be in Christian community, and you can get into the deeper things of God's Word. That's at the 9 o'clock hour. And I would encourage all of you who are listening to this live stream that are a part of Portland Christian Center, or even if you're local and you don't have a church, that you would come and you would get face-to-face with other believers and be under the ministry of the anointed teaching of God's Word with the teachers, the people with the teaching gift that we have in this church, and make 2017 a year of real growth in your life. So that's beginning this coming week, this week, and really encourage you to be a part of that. Also, family news, just to mention to you today, one of our dear, cherished members, Russ Fillinger, went to be with the Lord this week, suddenly, surprisingly to me. Russ was 89 years old, and this week he was promoted. And he began his new life, his eternal life, with the Lord unendingly in heaven. Russ and Claire are just some of my favorite people of all time, and so we're going to get together and we're going to celebrate his homegoing. We don't have the details of that yet, but we'll get those to you as soon as we know. In the meantime, I would encourage you to encourage Claire, pray for her, and if you know her address, send her a card of encouragement or email her, and let's just surround this family and bless them, particularly as Claire moves forward in this new season of her life. And that leads me to this moment of prayer, because I want to lift up some needs that you may have in your life that I know exist in our church community. And there has been loss, there has been disappointment, there's been sickness and things like that that we as human beings just struggle with. But we know that God is greater than that. And that's why every Sunday when we get together, we call out to Him in prayer. We pray for one another. We lay hands on each other and pray for God's provision. And so even though I can't lay my hands upon you, perhaps you can join hands with the people that you're with there, if you're with people. If you're not, just lift your palms upward to the Lord as a symbol of receiving from Him. And before we look into God's Word, let me just say a pastoral prayer over you. So let's pray. So Father, we look to You. You are our God. You are our source. You are sovereign and You are good. Lord, You knew that this day would bring bad weather to the Portland area long before we did, and You already had plans for it. And even though we're not physically together with one another, we are in Your presence today. And I pray that wherever we are, in our own home, in our living room, watching on a computer with other people, that Your Spirit would touch us at the deepest core of our lives. I want to pray for everyone who has experienced loss in their life and are grieving from it. God, I pray that to them You would reveal Yourself as the God of all comfort. I pray that You would bring the peace of God that passes all understanding into their heart, into their grief right now. And I pray that even in the midst of their loss, that they would sense that You are with them and You are surrounding them with Your loving arms. God, I pray for anyone that is listening to this today who may be suffering from dashed hopes and disappointments this week. God, I pray that You would be the God of hope. And I pray that You lift their spirit. I pray that You would remind them that You are in control. And circumstances and feelings and people notwithstanding, You are going to perfect Your perfect plan for their lives. And so I pray for a baptism of encouragement in their lives right now. I pray for those that are suffering physically from sickness, from disease. Lord, that You would just, by the healing virtue of the Holy Spirit, saturate their life, their being, with your power, with your healing power, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, to the tips of their finger, to every fiber, every cell in their being. I pray that the energy of the Spirit of God would bring healing and health to their bones. For anyone who may be suffering financially, who is just struggling in some way, who maybe emotionally is downcast today, or whatever the need is, we know that you're the God who meets our needs. You're the God who provides. And I pray that you would be that God of provision today. Mostly, God, I just pray that we would experience your presence in these moments, that we would experience your very real presence in our lives. I pray that when we turn off the computer, turn off the TV, turn out the lights and go on to whatever we're going to do today, that we would just stop and say, I felt God, I sense God in that moment. So God, come and speak to us as we lift our hearts to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that as we open your word now, that you would just instruct us, that this wouldn't be just the words of a preacher, but this would be the words of God through a human vehicle to give us direction, to give us a strategy for living, to lead us into the path where you can bless us abundantly as you desire to. God, I again lift these things to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you in advance for hearing our prayers and meeting our needs and glorifying yourself in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look into God's Word. And if you would, if you haven't already, I would encourage you to grab your Bible and open it up to Joshua chapter 1. We're there beginning a new series. We started that last week. And we're in this series that will lead us through this entire month and will lead us into a journey this year to what I'm calling high-performance Christianity. High-performance Christianity. And from this five-week series in Joshua chapter 1, in fact, we probably won't even get out of the first chapter, but from Joshua chapter 1, we are going to discover five essential practices for that will lead us to that experience of a high-performance faith. What is high-performance faith? Well, it's just Christianity at its best. It's living the fruitful and fulfilling life that God has for us. It's coming into the abundance in our faith that God desires for us to have. So we're going to talk about that all month long. Last week as we launched this series, I also mentioned this month that I'm going to make some announcements that I think are huge in the life and the history of Portland Christian Center. I'm going to roll these out over the course of the next 3 weeks, and I want to just, again, kind of preview to you or for you some of the things that I want to talk about. Next week, I think, is the biggie of the big. The biggie of the big news that I want to give to you, and I'm going to unveil news of the most significant corporate achievement in the history of Portland Christian Center, at least the recent history of our church, if not the entire 100 years nearly 100 years that we've been in existence. This is big, and I want you to come. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be here. So make sure you make your plans around that. Invite people, especially those that are part of our church, that are connected to us. Again, what I'm going to talk about next week, I think, is just perhaps the most impacting thing that we've ever achieved as a church. And so I'm excited to unveil that for you next week. Then the next week after that, I'm going to begin to roll out some kingdom-building opportunities that I believe God has placed before this church. Amazing opportunities for us that will be game changers, I think, for how we experience corporate worship here internally, physically, at the building, the property, Portland Christian Center, as well as the impact that we want to have in our community locally, and the global footprint that we desire as we go forth from this place through the ministries that God has given us, the vision that God has given us to literally change the world. And so I'm going to talk about that as well. And then finally, at the end of this month, I'm going to invite you into a faith-risking adventure that I think, if you will go with me on this, as the Holy Spirit leads us, will reshape your Christianity, your experience of God, in the most positive way possible. So that's what's coming. I'm excited about this month and excited about what God has put on my heart and what I see God has set before us. And so there's going to be a lot of great things that we talk about this month. So that's coming next week. So starting next week, so plan on that. For right now, though, let's come back to Joshua chapter 1. Again, get your Bible and open it up to that chapter, Joshua chapter 1, where we discover these five practices for this high-performance faith. In this chapter, God had set before Joshua opportunities that at the same time were both incredible as well as impossible. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I kind of feel that way about this year as we begin knowing what God has called us to. I am incredibly excited about the journey ahead. I can't wait. At the same time, I'm kind of nervous about it. There's that nervous energy of what God is calling us into. So I understand really what Joshua was probably feeling here. They were great opportunities that were impossible as well as incredible at the same time. Now, the context for this is that you remember that the children of Israel, God's people, had been living in Egypt in slavery. They had been in bondage for 400 years. 400 years, wow. And then, in the previous 40 years, through the leadership of Moses, God had led them out of Egypt, the Exodus. God had led them out of Egypt toward their promised land. God had made them promises of this land, the land of Canaan. And now he was, through the miracles that he performed to get them out of Egypt and in the miracles of the wilderness, God had brought them to the edge of the wilderness. But it had taken 40 years. Now remember, God had planned for this to take about 2 years, but because of some rebellion in the camp, the hearts of the people were stubborn toward what God was asking them to do, resistant toward the direction that God had called them to go, that God had punished them by giving them 40 years to work out their sin. So now they're at the end of the 40 years, and Joshua, their leader, is standing before them. They're at the edge of the Jordan River, the edge of the Promised Land. And God says to Joshua, I want you to go in and take possession of the land that I have promised you. I want you to possess the land. Now, here's part of the problem, part of the challenge, and this is probably why Joshua and the people may have been a little bit intimidated by what God had called them to do. There were still seven enemy nations in the land of Canaan that were standing in the way of them realizing their promise, of possessing their promise. Seven nations standing between God's people and God's promise of a promised land. And that brings me to an important kingdom-building principle that I rolled out last week, I talked to you about last week, and that is this. This is something that we need to remember and not be surprised by it. That every promise, that every divine promise faces daunting problems. Did you get that? Every divine promise faces daunting problems. Just because God promises something doesn't mean that it's automatic. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to strive for it, work for it, pray it in, step out in faith. And I've talked to people this week that have stepped out in faith to follow God, believing that they were laying hold of a promise that He had made to them. And as soon as they took that step of faith, man, they were hit with incredible obstacles and opposition. I've experienced that this week as well. Sometimes those obstacles come in the form of our circumstances. Sometimes it's people that are resistant to God or resistant, hostile even to us. Sometimes it's our own emotions that crop up and tempt us to get off track with God. And so every divine promise will face daunting problems. But here's another kingdom building principle that I want you to hear. That God never asks us to overcome problems without a plan to proceed and the power to succeed. God never asks us to tackle our problems and to overcome them without a plan to proceed and a promise, and the power, the promise of a power to succeed. So here we come to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and we find this plan, we find the strategy that God had given Joshua, and by extension, that God has given to you and me. These things were written for us, so that we might know how to walk with God and to experience His best for our lives. And so it was not only a strategy for Joshua, but it's a strategy for you and for me that will lead us to biblical prosperity and unbelievable success in 2017. Now that's not just something that I'm making up. That is the promise that you're going to see. As we read these nine verses, you're going to see that promise in verse 8, the promise of biblical prosperity and unbelievable success. And I'll define what those are as we go along. Let's jump into this and follow along with me as I read beginning in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1 down through verse 9. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the Israelites, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. There it is. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, in this text, there are these five practices that I want to unpack for you a week at a time over the course of this month. These are powerful steps, powerful proven steps in a biblical strategy that will lead you and your family, and us corporately as a church, will lead us to possess God's promises for us in 2017. So let me talk to you about the first one, and this is just going to be a recap because I talked about this in the sermon last Sunday. By the way, if you weren't there, I would encourage you to download the podcast to listen to this by whatever means you can, because this is a very important principle about how this all begins. If you're going to follow God's strategy, you can't jump past this one. You got to begin there. And so I encourage you to listen to that as that's unfolded to you from here from Joshua chapter 1. But here's the first practice. The first practice for a high-performance Christianity is the practice of letting go. The practice of letting go. In other words, to possess the promises in front of us, we've got to let go of the past behind us. That means that we can't be over-reliant on past accomplishments, nor too restricted by past failures. You notice the very first thing that God said to Joshua in verse 2 here in chapter 1? The very first thing He said is, Joshua, Moses is dead. You think? I mean, you think Joshua didn't know that? I mean, the people of Israel had literally been mourning for Moses for 40 days. They had gone into a period of national mourning for this leader who had died. So they're at the tail end of that, and then God comes to Joshua and He says, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now, obviously, God isn't just stating the obvious. He's not telling Joshua something that he didn't know. But here's what He's saying. He's saying, Moses is dead. Now, Joshua, get moving. Moses is dead. Get moving. God was telling Joshua that He was going to do a new thing in a new way with a new person. New thing in a new way with a new person. Joshua wasn't to be intimidated by Moses' leadership or content with Moses' past successes. Neither was he to be fearful of Moses' failure to get Israel into the promised land. I mean, think about Moses, who he was, what he represented. He was the greatest leader of Israel's history. The greatest leader probably in world history. I mean, to bring 2 million plus people out of Egypt with the mighty miracles that God performed through him, to call down manna from heaven that fed those Israelites every day for those 40 years, to bring the Ten Commandments down from Mount Sinai, meeting with God face to face. I mean, What greater leader has there ever been than Moses? I mean, the accomplishments of what he did, I mean, just are enormous. And Joshua could have been intimidated by that, following in those footsteps. And the fact remains that even Moses, as good of a leader as he was, couldn't get Israel into the promised land. And in fact, because of one of Moses' own failures, he himself could not go into the promised land. And so Joshua could have threw up his hands and said, if Moses couldn't do it, what makes me think I can? I mean, if Moses in all his glory, you know, still couldn't get these people into the promised land, I don't have a chance. Now here's the thing, for Joshua, for you, the past year is dead. 2016 is dead. It's behind you. I would encourage you to be grateful for your successes in the past 365 days. I would encourage you to learn from your experiences, build on your achievements. But God has something new and something better for you this year. And likewise, I would just say that whatever was hurtful to you in the past year, whatever you failed at, do not let that intimidate you. Do not let unforgiveness and bitterness, guilt, shame, and remorse, or fear, do not let that act as an anchor to you moving forward. God wants to do a new thing in a new way with a new person, and you're that new person. Moses. Whatever or whoever that is to you. And last week, people that were in the service, I asked them to identify, to spend some time with God, just reflecting and praying and seeking to discover what that is. But whatever your Moses is, your past successes or your past failures, whatever that is to you, Moses is dead. And I would encourage you to just literally to declare, verbally to declare over that, Moses is dead. You see, you can't set sail for a new faith horizon in the future if you're still tethered to the shores of this past year. You've got to let it go. That's where it begins. Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to let go? Moses is dead. Now, move forward. So that's the first practice. The second practice is what I call the practice of visioneering. The practice of visioneering. What that means is getting clear about the future. Get clear about your future. Get clear about the future that God has in mind for you. Ask God to give you a vision for what He plans for you this year. Just ask Him. Ask Him. Look at verse 3. God said to Joshua, again a promise for you as well, and for me too, for our church. He said, I will give you everywhere you set your foot. I'll give you everywhere you set your foot. And then he showed Joshua what that would look like in verse 4. He says, from the Sinai Desert, that is the border of Egypt, to Lebanon, that's up to the north, to the great river, the Euphrates, that's over in modern-day Iraq. In fact, where it empties into the sea, it borders between Iraq and Iran. From the Hittite country to the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea, on the west. That's a lot of territory. That's basically almost the whole Middle East. And in part, that's why Israel today still fights for its borders. They believe, and I believe with them, that God gave them this land, and it is theirs by divine decree, by divine declaration. I don't care what the UN says, or the U.S. government says, or the ambassadors of the world say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the news media says. It doesn't matter what the academic world says. The elites of our world, the intelligentsia, declares about Israel. That is their territory. And it has been shrunken over the years. And they live in just a little sliver of what God promised them. And now we're asking them to give up even more. Listen, God gave them that land. God gave them that land. And so if you're in disagreement with that, then take it up with God. But that is His forever decree written in His Word. Now, let me move beyond that little statement and just ask you this question. When you think about that much land, did Israel need all that? I mean, did they need the entire Middle East as their own property? Well, of course not. But That brings me to another kingdom building principle that I want to give to you to go along with the other two that I just mentioned. And here it is, kingdom builder principle number three. God always gives in abundance. Now think about that. Think about what He gave Israel. And that's the principle. When God gives, He always gives in abundance. Now let me define biblical abundance for you. Simply means more than enough. More than enough. God will always give you more than enough. You know, God has placed in your heart, I believe it's in the heart of every believer, a dream and desires, a dream and the desires for what He intends for your life, and that I would call your promised land. And for you, it is way bigger than what you need, and it's way bigger than what you deserve. You don't need as much as God wants to give you, and you don't deserve as much as God wants to give you. But God is a God of abundance. In fact, He sent His Son. We read this in the New Testament in John chapter 10, verse 10. God sent Jesus to ensure that you would have that life of abundance, life to the full, life overflowing. Why? Because God is a God of abundance. So God has placed in your heart a vision, a dream for that life of abundance. And it could be, for whatever reason, maybe because of time, maybe because of disappointments, maybe because of just a lack of focus in your life, you have buried those desires and they've stayed, those dreams have stayed buried for a long, long time. Maybe you've even forgotten them until this moment. Listen, today is a great day to dig them up and to begin to envision once again what God has placed in your heart, what God wants to do for you and through you in 2017. And here's why. Here's why. Vision in your life this year will only grow, victory in your life this year will only grow from the vision that has been implanted in your heart. Visible success for you will originate within the invisible realm of your soul. Let me say that again. Visible success for you will originate within the invisible realm of your soul. And we see that taught throughout the Bible. I think of Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4, where God says, I will give you the desires in your heart. I mean, God implanted those desires there. He longs to give you what He's implanted there. John 15, 7 through 8. Jesus said, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Obviously, there are some parameters around that. I think we're all mature enough to realize that. But there are desires, there are dreams, there's a vision in there that is God implanted. And if it's been buried, if you've forgotten it, dig it up, bring it to mind. Let God give life to it this morning, because that's from God and He desires to fulfill that for you in 2016. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of what? Of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. The invisible realm. Hebrews 11 verse 3 goes on to say that what is seen never begins with the visible. What is seen never begins with the visible. It starts with the invisible. It starts with the dream. It starts with the vision. God has given you a heart full of treasure. Dreams, desires, hopes, plans, what I would call potential realities. And perhaps those treasures have been buried for far too long in your life. Dig it up and visualize the future that God has for you. I'm not talking about some new age kind of thing that people do. I'm not talking about the whole name and claim it stuff that goes on with some immature Christians, but there's a holiness, there's a theology of visualizing what God has implanted, picturing what God has implanted in your heart. I think one of the greatest acts of faith that we could offer to God would be to look ahead a year from now and just imagine what you want to be, or to picture what God wants you to be. What an act of faith that is. What an act of faith to say, God, I believe this is what You've called me to be, and I'm going to see it so that I can possess it. That's faith. You see, God put that dream there. God has made that promise to you, a promise of a land, a life of blessing. And now you've got to see it by faith before you can begin taking the steps of faith to get you there. You've got to picture what you want to possess. You got to picture what you want to possess. That's another kingdom building principle. You have to picture what God wants you to possess. I like how Stephen Wise put it. Listen to this. He said, vision looks inward and becomes duty. Vision looks outward and becomes aspiration. But vision looks upward and becomes faith. Now, I pray today that your vision becomes faith. And so I would encourage you, just ask God to give you a vision or to renew your vision, the vision that's already there, to show you what His preferred future for you looks like. You've got to picture what you want to possess. And here's why. Number one, vision provides direction. Your God-given vision will provide the direction that you need for the course of this next year. If we don't determine where God wants us to go, what God wants us to go after, we're going to end up somewhere else. To paraphrase Thoreau, if you aim at nothing, you're certain to hit it. You got to get a picture of what God wants for you. J.C. Penney, the founder of the Penney's department store, said this. He said, give me a stock clerk with a goal or a vision. Give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I will give you a man who will make history. Give me a man without a goal, and I will give you a stock clerk. So let me ask you this. What do you want to be in the kingdom of God? Do you want to be a stock clerk? Nothing wrong with that if that's what you want. Or do you want to be a person who makes history in the kingdom of God? Do you want to join those in Hebrews chapter 11, God's hall of faith? Then get a vision. Get a vision. Set a goal. Establish a plan. Follow God's plan. And you will make history. So a vision provides direction. Number two, vision produces resources. It marshals the resources and the energy, the faith that we need to get there. Getting a picture of what God wants for you enables you to muster the determination and to tap into the divine power and to exert the endurance to achieve victory. It's the long-range vision, picture, that keeps us from being immobilized by short-term failures, because we're going to have those, by stumbles that we're going to have, by opposition that we face, by the obstacles that the enemy is going to put in our way. It's the long-range vision that will keep us moving toward that. Vision produces resources. And then three, vision promotes faith. It does. It requires and it promotes faith. Your visioneering, the act of getting a vision, your visioneering honors the God who planted the seed within your heart in the first place. It's a God-honoring thing. To do some visioneering is an act of faith that's pleasing to the Lord. Listen, faith isn't measured by where you've been. It's not measured by where you've been. It's measured by what you're striving for. Your faith is measured by what you're reaching, what you're determined to achieve, by what you're attempting for God today and believing God for tomorrow. That's faith. Envisioning a future of success and prosperity, not my promise, but God's promise to you, and strategizing to achieve it, and then resolutely moving forward to attain it, is a great act of worship and faith and trust in God. It glorifies the God who promised it. You've got to picture it if you're going to possess it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists, and not just that He exists, but that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I would take that to mean that God rewards the visionary. If you will do some visioneering, the promise there is that God will reward you, because it demonstrates to God that you believe that He exists and that He's pleased with those who seek Him in faith. So, let me just say this as I close. Let go of the past. You gotta let it go. Moses is dead. Let go of the past and get clear about the future. Ask God to give you that vision or to renew that vision. Get clear about the future. And then, as the next chapter in Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2 says, let go of the past, get clear about the future, and then run with endurance. The journey before you, the race in front of you, run with endurance. You know, I've always been a sports fanatic from the time I was a little kid. It was in my, hardwired into my DNA. I loved any kind of sports, even as a little bitty kid. And, I became infatuated with the Olympics. You know, every 4 years, the World Games that are called the Olympics. And the first one that I can really remember is the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. Obviously, I was alive before that, but that's the first one that I can remember. And that particular Olympics was famous for a lot of things, infamous for some things. Some incredible things happened within those games. But one of the most outstanding or significant things that happened was in the marathon. In the marathon, it wasn't the winner, but it was the guy that came in last. The last runner to come in was a guy from Tanzania. During the race, unfortunately, this guy had stumbled, he actually fell, and he literally broke his leg. But he kept running. And imagine that. The guy broke a bone in his leg, but he got up and he hobbled, and he just kept moving forward. He was running with endurance the race before him. Long after the other runners had finished the race, late into the evening, this guy entered into the stadium. Crowd was basically gone. There were a few people still there. It was now 7 o'clock at night. Small crowd, and this guy came into the stadium to do his final lap in the 26.2-mile marathon. And as he came into the stadium, the crowd that was still left stood up and they gave him a standing ovation all the way around the track as he came to the finish line. Later on, as he was being interviewed, someone said, "Man, you were hurt. You were bloodied, you broke your leg, you must have been discouraged. I mean, why in the world did you finish the race?" And he said something really profound that I think has all kinds of spiritual applications for you and me. He said, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles around the world to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." He had a vision of what those had called him to do, had in mind for him. He had a vision. He was focused on it. And he entered the race, and no matter what had happened to him, he endured. And he finished, probably even more so than the first place person, he finished in glorious fashion. I don't know who finished the marathon. I don't know the name of the winner of the 68 Olympics, but I remember this guy, and the world remembers this incredible accomplishment. Well, here's the thing. There is another country, and is much further, and is much more important than Tanzania. It's heaven. It's a kingdom, and has a king. And you are a citizen. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of that king, of that kingdom. Furthermore, not just a citizen, but you are a son. You are a daughter of the king, of the kingdom. And so I would challenge you today to get a vision of the race that he's called you to. He's called you to run a race this year in 2017. And he didn't call you just to start the race. He called you to run strong and finish well. So let go of the weights that would hold you back in that race and get a vision for what the finish looks like. And then pursue it with risky, reckless abandon of faith. And may the Lord bless you as you pursue him. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to close this live stream. I want to challenge you to do something before you walk away from this moment. either by yourself or again if you're with people watching this live stream, maybe with your small group or just your family. Talk about what the Lord has said to you through Joshua and go back and reread it. And talk about, this is what it's saying to me. Talk about the dream that God has placed in your heart. Just do a little vision casting. Do a little visioneering with those around you. Or if you're alone, begin to write that down in your notes. And then before you leave, pray. Pray for one another. Ask God to empower you, to help you, to move forward into what He's called you to. God has planted in your heart, and He's declared in His realm of authority, which is everywhere, by the way, He has declared into the realm of His authority that if you will follow Him, and if you will look to Him, and if you will obey Him, He will give you this year an experience of biblical prosperity and divine success. Don't settle for anything less than that, okay? So I hope you'll do that before you go. Right now, let me pray for you, and then we'll end this podcast, this live stream. And again, let me thank you for joining us today. I know that you didn't have to do this. You made a choice to, but my prayer is that because you've made this choice, that God will bless you. He will bless you with abundance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Joshua. Thank you for the principles that are set forth in your word. Thank you that what you did for and through and in the life of people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament even, these were recorded as examples for us that show us patterns of how we can move forward into what you have called us to do and to experience what you have given us to experience and to achieve what you've destined us to achieve. And I pray that as we meditate on this, as we let it soak into our hearts and into our minds, that you would begin to give us a very clear picture of the abundance that you have for us in 2017. And I pray, God, that out of Portland Christian Center, out of the people that are listening to this live stream today, God, I pray that you would raise up some people who will make history. Lord, that one day, should you tarry, should you delay your return, and we live this entire our entire lives and we die and go on to be with you in heaven, that heaven will record us in the annals of that great hall of faith, just like those in Hebrews 11, because of the choices that we made this year to follow after you, to get a vision, and to then pursue it and to run with endurance, that you will create some history makers through Portland Christian Center in 2017. So be with your people, go before them, strengthen them, and give us victory, give us prosperity, and give us success, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.